by very capable people. You've got Mr. Donovan is speaking next week. He'll be speaking both in Fremantle and here in Kwinana. The following week on Christmas Eve, on the 24th, we have Pastor Charlie speaking. And then on the 31st for our gratitude service, where we are going to reflect on what God has done for us during this year, individually as well as corporately together. We're going to be grateful and we're going to anticipate the good things that the Lord will do for us in 2024. That in Fremantle, that will be Pastor Helen Ricardo. And here in Kwinana, we'll have Mr. Andrew Baker. Amen for Mr. Andrew Baker. Please put your hands together for Andrew and Donovan. And I know that when they've all spoken, I've been blessed by their messages. And I've let them know afterwards. I normally do it on a Monday at times, and I just let them know that, look, guys, this is what I took away from your message. So you're going to be greatly blessed by that, by them. So the mere mention of the word Christmas or Christmas time evokes so many emotions and memories. Perhaps those emotions may be good, and perhaps they be not so good. For us, you know, growing up in Africa, we used to get clothes one time a year. And it was Christmas time where you got your clothes. And so on Christmas Day was the day that everybody would go out of the street, all the kids would go out on the street to show off the clothing that they had, you know. And so if you did not get any new clothing, yes, thank you. If you didn't get any clothing, oh, the other kids would make fun of you. Isn't it bad what kids do? You know, they call you poor because you know, like, but that's what they do. You know, kids, they do crazy stuff. And I don't know about you, perhaps you've got your own family traditions about what you do, whether on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. In our household, with Unami, we have, this is a tradition that she started. Not she started it, she continued on the tradition of what her family does, which is bring out gifts on Christmas Eve. We were not a gift-giving family. Is that Connie? Oh, anyway. So we were not a gift-giving family. But she's introduced that because that's what they do in their family. They give out gifts on Christmas Eve, and so you're assigned somebody that you're going to give. You know the Kris Kringle thing? You're going to assign somebody, you're assigned a person, and you got to buy for them. I normally don't like Kris Kringle. It all depends on who's the one giving you the gift. Historically, I've been given a gift in Unami's family, but it's not a gift that I liked. And so what do you do if you're given cologne that you don't like? You give it to somebody else. But one of the things we do after Christmas Eve, we unwrap the presents, we cook food the next day. And for me, what I started to do probably 5-6 years ago in Port Hedland is to cook oxtail on Christmas Day. The way that I like to cook it, which is boil it a bit, you know, just to render the fat, and then I put it in the oven and I bake it for a very long time. So it's nice and crispy and soft. And then for dessert, I make an ice cream biscuit. Now you're wondering what that is. It's a secret recipe. Yeah, and so my kids, I made this when our kids were very young. And to be quite honest, it's very simple. It's what is this? Is it condensed milk? Condensed milk, cream, and well, that's about it really. And then you mix it up. And then you put the Arnott's biscuits, the Malto biscuits, put them at the bottom, you spread that, and you put the more biscuits on the top, but it's very delicious. So I made it, and it's not an original idea. It's something that I heard a co-worker talk about. That's what she did, so I just borrowed from her. And so the kids said to me, "What is this called?" They didn't know what it was, and then I just came up with a name. The first thing that came out of my mouth, I said, "These are Daddy Gwaddies." I don't know what that means, but I just wanted to make them feel like, you know, I knew what I was doing. And so even to this day, as they've grown older, they get excited about the Daddy Gwaddies. You know. So, And so, and then of course we gather with friends, and this year I'll be gathering with my wife's family in Botswana, which will be very good, you know, which will be very good. But I think that we never want to miss the essence of this season. We have to keep the right perspective about what this season is about. Yes, it's about the food and the carry-on and the drink and so on and so forth. But what it's really about is relationship. These are the things that matter the most. You can have $1 billion, but if you don't get along with your family, what is that money worth to you? Oh, still $1 billion. But really, is it worth it? Because what's the point of having so much money but you fight with your own family? And then yet people that don't have a lot, they get along with their family. And people like that are rich. They are rich in relationships. On Friday, I called Pastor Charlie. I had a conundrum. I had to go and see my friend's mother, who was now got some very bad news and was now in palliative care. Is essentially on that. And so I called Pastor Charlie to say, look, this is what I'm going to do. What do I go and say? I'm nervous, very nervous. And so he steps me through some things. He asks me some questions. I'm like, where are you going with these questions? How long are you going to be there for? Are you going to see her again? But he was trying to gather the context on which to give me what to do. And so he then gave me some pointers and some key scriptures. And so I went and I also dialed in our prayer network. And I dialed them in and I said, guys, I'm going to see this. Could you please pray for me? I am nervous. But then I also realized as I was typing that I'm nervous, I said, don't make it about yourself. It's not about me. And so anyway, I walked into the hospital and it was packed. The room was packed. The lady was there, surrounded by her family. There were probably at least 10 or 11 people. And so now I'm super nervous because I thought it was just going to be a private audience with two or three people. But there's all this family there. And so I began to share the things, you know, just share some hope for them, just to share some hope with her. I'm talking to her, but everybody around me is listening to what I'm saying. And I'm saying that when we close our eyes, I told her that I heard her daughter told me about the news, what the doctor said. And then I said, you know, what we believe in is that when we close our eyes, that we live on forever. It's just that when we close our eyes to this world, we open up our eyes in another world. And so then began to share Jesus and read through Psalm 23. And then I began to speak to her as a person. And I said to her, because I've known the family for at least 13 years. And I said to her, I want to acknowledge you. You're the mother of these kids and all these grandkids. I want to acknowledge you because when I see your family, I see a united family. I see a family that gathers all the time. But I also see a family that rallies around each other. So just recently, her daughter just rang the bell, you know, after her chemo treatment on Thursday, and then flew to Port Hedland to come and see her mother who was sick. But what I like about this family is that when somebody is not doing well, they drop everything and they get into that mode of, okay, how are we going to take care of each other? And I'm acknowledging this lady to say, I want to acknowledge to you the things that you have instilled in your children. And I said, because it is something to be envious about. Because the truth is that not many families will stop for one another. And so the perspective we have to keep over this holiday season is that it is about the relationships. Now, of course, you know, there's difficulties in relationships. We get all that. But the perspective is that life, unfortunately, church, is short. The things that really matter are not the decorations are great, by the way, here. and the decorations in your home, I'm assuming they're spectacular. It's all about that. It's all about the food. We can get so hung up on wanting to make everything perfect that we lose perspective of what actually matters. And that is our relationships. And that's the, you know, for the past week, even with our team, we've just been speaking and praying into the one thing we want to pray for this Christmas season is that people are released to be able to receive everything God has for them. But of course, you got to let go of some stuff that is stopping you from receiving the fullness of what God wants for your life. And that if you've got issues of unforgiveness and because of some issues with your family, we have been praying that God would bring release in your life so that this Christmas would be a Christmas that is different to any other because of what God can do in our lives. So we know that 2023 for some has been a painful and difficult year. For others, Christmas brings up painful memories and heartache. For others, it's obviously an exciting time. It's time to get crazy, buy yourself expensive drinks and all that, good food, prawns, lobster, wine, Coke, Fanta, all of that, cordial. My hope and prayer, regardless of where you're at in that spectrum, is that you will notice and you will realize that God is always with you. And even through those dark times, you have to know that hope flickers. That when you come to this Christmas season, you recognize that hope, there's just a candle that's burning, it's flickering. And that's what hope does for us. And that's what we're praying for you for Christmas 2023. In the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 67, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." The title of the message is as 'Tis the Season of Hope and for Hope. Now, when we say it is the season of hope and it is the season for hope, there's of hope and for hope. They convey similar sentiments, but with a slightly different nuance in meaning, with a slight nuance in the meaning. So when we say the season of hope, we're saying that this Christmas season, the hope is just inherent in it. That we're just hopeful around this time, that the season itself embodies hope. We hope to have a good time, hope to have a restful time with our families over the Christmas break when work closes and all of that. But it's also a season for hope. This tells us that the season is an appropriate or designated time to have hope. It indicates that the season is an opportunity or a reason to hope because it is Christmas, because of what God did when he gave us. Remember, he says that for a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. So because of that promise, now we are hopeful in our lives. We are hopeful for what God has done and what God is going to do in our lives. And so this prophecy that is given in Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about the coming rule of Jesus on earth. The verses gather into one announcement, the predictions of the birth, which is what we are celebrating over Christmas, the birth of Jesus, his the deity, his Godship, his earthly government, his just kingdom, and the eternity of Christ. When this prophecy was given, if you read the book of Isaiah chapter 8, things were not going well for the children of Israel. They were lost without the Lord. And therefore, this prophecy was then given that, you know, good things are coming your way. Isaiah chapter 8 paints a picture of gloom where he was warning Judah about the incoming invasion of the Assyrians. And they were coming and they were just going to take them away as slaves. In Isaiah chapter 8 verse 22, it says, Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they'll be driven into the darkness. Humanity, for a long time, was lost. Even as you encounter the children of Israel in the Old Testament, humanity was lost. Ever since the Garden of Eden, where man sinned, understanding that man was created to live in harmony with God, but because we sinned, we separated ourselves from the Lord, and we were lost, and we had to go out wandering, because that's exactly what they were kicked out of the garden, given the boot, get out of here. And so they are now wandering, aimless and lost. But God in his divine, in his divineness, already started to prepare a way to bring them back into relationship with him. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, just describes this state of being lost as living in darkness, wandering without direction, and being spiritually dead. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This season reminds us of our own wandering, how we were far away from the Lord. There was a darkness that once enveloped our hearts when we were not following the Lord. And we had this despair that comes from being lost. But when we came to the Lord, when we were given the opportunity to come to the Lord, all of a sudden hope came into our lives. Amen? Amen. And so no matter how far lost we are, God always remains faithful to us. Despite our rebellion and our lostness, God remained faithful. The children of Israel, remember last week we spoke about how they said, "We will follow everything that you've commanded." Then 30 days or 40 days later, in Exodus chapter 32, they start to follow they built the golden calf. And so you can imagine being in a relationship with somebody who tells you that I'm going to remain faithful, but then they don't keep up their end of the bargain. So just for us as human beings to fathom that is difficult. But whilst we are faithless, God remained faithful. The children of Israel are just a representation of what we're like. So whilst, of course, it seems like it's a story, it's actually a representation of how there are times where we're on fire for the Lord, and there are other times where we're not so, Lord, I'm not going to walk with you that close. And so our relationship sometimes ebbs and flows with the Lord. But he always has remained faithful to us. He's always remained faithful to you. So through the Old Testament, we see God's faithfulness with covenants with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and through the provision and guidance for the Israelites. Remember that they were in Egypt. He led them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, to bring them to the promised land. And so he was guiding them, even though they were rebellious people. And so the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness is, we find that in the New Testament, where Jesus reconciles humanity to himself. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the fulfillment of God's promises and his plan to save humanity from sin. Because remember, it says that he was talking to the lady and he says, the child or the seed is going to do what? He's going to trample on the head of the snake. This is he that God was talking about. So he was already putting the wheels into motion. When he kicked them out, he started to put the wheels into motion. And so it shows us the faithfulness of God towards us. This is what this Christmas season should tell us. God is faithful to both you and I. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves you. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Because God pursues all of us relentlessly. Have you ever seen a man that wants a woman? You probably have in the movies. What will that man do for that woman? He will move heaven and earth that he can control. He will promise her the sun, moon, and the stars. He will pursue her relentlessly. He will stop at nothing to get the woman that he wants to be with. I know some men here, can you give me an amen that when you saw your wives, you pursued them relentlessly? Is that true? It's Pastor Charlie? He pursued her relentlessly. I bet you Pastor Helen will be telling us a different story. Back in those days, he had to go to the payphone to call her. You know? God pursued, the pursuit that he has for us is relentless. And when he chases after us, it's not because he's condemning us, but it's with a heart full of love and a desire to restore. The story of Christmas is the ultimate pursuit where God himself stepped into history in the form of Jesus to bring us back to himself. Verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9 says, "And the zeal of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." Which means there is God has made a commitment to say, no matter what it takes me, I am going to find a way to restore these people back into relationship with me. And so what should this say to us this season? That God is relentless in his pursuit of us. So when God makes promises, he's going to see them through. Because he gave the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, that for us a child is born, so on and so forth. And then now, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy where Jesus is born, is literally born in the New Testament. He comes to earth. This should tell us that God is faithful to us. That means I need to just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to stop messing around and I'm just going to trust in you because you are always faithful. You always make a way. Amen? This should provide you and I some comfort and encouragement for us who are grappling with difficulties in our lives. We're dealing with issues. We deal with whatever issues you may have, you know, whether it's you're dealing with some hurt, dealing with some type of addiction, and you ask yourself the question, will I ever be free? I don't know about you, if you've ever been caught up in something, the question you always ask yourself is, will I ever be free? Because something has just trapped you. You're trapped, and you don't know, is there a way of escape for me? This Christmas season, it should remind us that the hope that is in the Christmas season that we celebrate is that God, his relentless pursuit of us, extends to every aspect of our lives, offering us hope and the promise of transformation in those areas of struggle. That if he could promise to send Jesus and then he pulled it off, he did send him, he did come, he did live, he did die, and now I'm restored back into relationship with him. If he could do that, then surely he can help me in my area of struggle. And as a result, I am going to approach this season differently. That, you know what? Freedom has come. Because God is an ever-present help. And so even though we've got our struggles, or we struggle with issues, now we can embrace hope. His hope that if he did that, then he's going to be able to support me and he's going to be able to help me get free and do what I need to do so that I can live a full life. It says in Isaiah, "For a child is born to us, and a son is given to us." This tells us the purpose of Christ's coming was for us. The purpose of Christ's coming was for you. And it's quite easy for us to be lost in 8 billion people in the world and say, okay, oh yeah, no, yeah, I know, Lord. I know you came for humans, but did you come for me? And I want to say that whilst, yes, we are a part of the global community of human beings, God specifically came for you. Because he rang the bell and you answered the door. He came specifically. Christ's purpose was to come specifically for us. So Jesus is the hope of Christmas. The reason why we are hopeful over Christmas is because we recognize that something has come and that our lives are not going to be the same going forward. Through Jesus, the lost are found, the broken are mended, and the weary find rest. His birth signifies the dawn of a new hope, a hope that does not disappoint because it is anchored in the very nature of God. Not in human beings, because I can promise you that I might say, look, I'll be coming tomorrow. And then tomorrow I don't pitch up. But this one is anchored in the person of who God is, in his character. He cannot lie. He cannot. If he says he'll do it, then yes, he's going to do it. This is why our hope in God is strong, because of his nature. Now, we say that it is the season of hope, and it is the season for hope. Now, it is the season of hope because humanity was lost, but even in that state of us being lost, there was a glimmer of hope promised by God. Because remember, when they were being kicked out, he said, in that moment, he says, your seed will trample the head of the snake. So already the promise is in motion. Even though I'm saying, look, I'm evicting you, but I promise you that such and such is going to happen. We see God's faithfulness because he's the source of our hope. His steadfast love and promises provide a foundation that we can rely on. Because of what he has done, he's got a track record that is very positive, a track record that is undefeated. So we can rely on him. His relentless pursuit of humanity is driven by hope, a hope for our redemption and return to him. And why it is a season of hope? Because Jesus embodies this hope. His arrival as a child is the fulfillment of the hope that has been woven throughout history. Jesus is that hope. But why is it for hope? Why is it the season for hope? Because if it's a season for hope, it implies that the season is a time to cultivate or embrace hope. It is aspirational and forward-looking, which means we have to play a part. The other one, you just sort of like say, okay, this is what it is, it's Christmas. But if we are going to grab on to the hope of what Jesus did for us, there's going to be some work involved. It is aspirational. You have to cultivate it. You actually have to embrace it. While we recognize our lostness, the season is an opportunity for us to seek and find the hope that is offered to us. This is why you find that every week there is an opportunity that is provided for people to come and meet Christ. It's not because we like to do it, you know, and just like to waste your time. No, because this is why Christ came. His purpose was to come for us and therefore for other people. That's why we provide that opportunity. We should be encouraged to remain hopeful, because of God's unwavering faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, he will always remain faithful. And this season inspires us to hope for the transformation that comes from trusting and knowing God. Understanding that his relentless pursuit for us will cause us to hope to get transformation in those areas of our lives that really, really, really trouble us. That we've ever wondered, will I be free? The answer I have for you today is that yes, you will be free, that Christ can transform your life. And you will look back at those times where you've struggled with stuff and say, how did I, was I able to make it through? I never thought it possible. So the birth of Jesus is a call to renew our hope again, to look forward to the peace that only Jesus can bring and the restoration that only he can bring in our lives. And so I'll just get the, to start playing, thank you. Why don't we just stand this morning? God is inviting us today to actively engage with and to foster that hope, the hope of Jesus. He is the hope we have and the hope we